Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. Please go back if you have a minute and listen to some of the other interviews we've had. We had Governor Kristi Noem, Ambassador Nikki Haley. We have Dan Crenshaw coming up tomorrow. So you guys want to make sure you are subscribed. Email me what questions you think I should be asking Dan Crenshaw and many others. You can go to freedom@charliekirk.com and email me directly. We've had an amazing round of guests. And as we've been having all these guests, you know, I said, hey, we got to dive deep into what's happening in the news cycle right now. There is so much happening in the country that needs to be covered, and stuff that's happening politically that very few people are talking about, and I think a lot of people are missing. Before we get started, make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us those 5-star reviews. Those help us more than you can imagine. We can surge in the charts and beat Joe Biden. Also, feel free to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, with questions you want me to ask our guests, feedback, and anything in between. freedom@charliekirk.com. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
As many of you know, there's been growing accusations against former Vice President Joe Biden in regards to Tara Reid, a former Senate staffer, sexual assault allegations, pretty serious allegations. And this has been a slow drip. It's, and in the words of Ernest Hemingway, it's happened gradually, then suddenly. All of a sudden, we have top Democrats asking the question, is Biden going to be our nominee? What has been so amazing for me to see out of this in the last couple days and watching the weekend shows is the incongruent response from Democrats. They have not been all getting behind Joe Biden. They have not been just categorically getting behind him, saying the stuff they used to say with Bill Clinton, saying, oh, that's all nonsense and throwing it out the window. And a lot of this is because the left has gone all in. Think of it as a poker game. They've gone all in on the Me Too narrative. There is no room for debate or dialogue or disagreement. It's just Me Too or bust. And so, to try to dispel some of these accusations, someone in Joe Biden's campaign thought it would be a good idea to put Joe Biden on television. Knowing where Joe Biden currently is, that's a really bad idea. Putting Joe Biden in an unscripted format where he could be asked any question anytime is a really, really bad idea. Now, I'm not trying to trivialize whatever issue he might be dealing with, but there's something not right about his mental cognitive ability. He struggles to make coherent sentences. He's obviously going through a great amount of effort just to try to put together coherent thoughts. He almost winces when he has to talk. And again, I'm not trying to trivialize that. I'm not trying to say that we should make fun of that. I'm just saying it's actually very serious. So they decided to put Joe Biden on television, which again is not the best strategy at all. And they decided to put him up against Mika Brzezinski. So Mika Brzezinski, I think, is now engaged or married to Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough is the anti-Trump, allegedly former Republican who used to serve in Congress, who hosts the show at 6 a.m. Whoever's watching MSNBC at 6 a.m. Eastern, I guess, is watching Mika and Joe talk about how much they hate Trump and how the country would be better under President Barack Obama. That show actually used to be somewhat semi-watchable in the Obama years. It's just become unwatchable television. And so I bet the Joe Biden campaign said, well, who do we have who's a woman who could really help you out of this, Joe, who would get you kind of an attaboy and take it easy on you? And Joe Biden, thinking to long years past when Mika Brzezinski used to be a pseudo Democratic operative, said, oh, Morning Joe. Now, maybe Joe Biden was thinking Morning Joe, they'd be easy on me because I'm Joe Biden. I'm not exactly sure the thought process, but was so telling to me during this interview was how hard Mika Brzezinski was on Joe Biden. She did not let up. In fact, for her, I would give her a B. And a B for Mika Brzezinski is like a screaming A-plus for the activist journalist media community. I mean, it's like off the charts, 10 out of 10, 100%. Because I expected her to be like, Joe, there's all these unfounded, unsubstantiated allegations pushed forth by fringe conspiracy conservatives. What do you have to say about that? Instead, she was very direct. She was very prosecutorial almost, as if she was trying to almost make a case against Joe Biden. Dare I say, Mika Brzezinski did the first form of honest journalism that I have seen against Joe Biden in a long time. Now, by the way, I am not getting on the Mika Brzezinski train. I'm not saying that she's all of a sudden had some newfound integrity. No. What everyone is missing, and few are talking about, is what this really means. Mika Brzezinski did not do this without permission from the higher-ups of NBC Universal and Comcast. Mika Brzezinski did not do this on her own. Mika Brzezinski had many editorial meetings. Mika Brzezinski talked to her higher-ups and the executives, and they said, for ratings and maybe an ulterior Democratic agenda, you need to go hard on Joe Biden. And this begs the question, is Joe Biden going to be the nominee? The New York Times editorial just recently came out with a piece that said it's time for Democrats to consider Plan B. So I want to actually play the tape of Joe Biden getting cross-examined by Mika Brzezinski. And Mika was very firm on him. And there was a 5 or 6 seconds of just awkward, just very, very uncomfortable silence between Joe Biden and Mika Brzezinski. Play tape.
I am absolutely certain.
Why not approve a search of her name in those records?
Approve a search of her name?
Yes, and reveal anything that might be related to Tara Reid in the University of Delaware records.
There is nothing. They're not there. And if they, if it's, I you know, I don't understand what the point you're trying to make.
The point
there
I'm trying
no
to make
personnel
is that
records
you
by
are,
definition.
The point I'm trying to make is that you are approving and actually calling for a search of the National Archives records of anything pertaining to Tara Reid. I'm asking why not do the same in the University of Delaware records, which have raised questions because they were supposed to be revealed to the public and then they were sealed for a longer period of time. Why not do it for both sets of records?
Because the material in the University of Delaware has no personnel files, and it has, but it does have a lot of confidential conversations that I had with the president about a particular issue, that I had with the heads of state of other places, that would not be something that would be revealed while I was in public office or while I was seeking public office. It just stands to reason. The best of my knowledge, no one else has done that either.
I'm just talking about her name, not anybody else in those records. A search for that. Nothing classified with the president or anybody else. I'm just asking, why not do a search for Tara Reid's name in the University of Delaware records?
Look, I mean, who does that search?
So again, this tells me one of two things. This tells me either that there is a true Democrat effort to try to get Joe Biden to no longer be the nominee. They know that he's not all there, and they are going to use the Tara Reid accusation to completely remove Joe Biden. Now, as a Trump supporter and as someone who loves America, I actually fear that this might be happening too fast. I actually think that this should be something that should be happening in September or October. In fact, I think that if we were actually to make this full mounted attack against Joe Biden under the Tara Reid accusations, this should be something that should be like an October surprise. The fact that this is happening in May during the coronavirus could play into Joe Biden's hands. The second thing that it might tell me about Mika Brzezinski is that somebody coordinated with her to go hard on Joe Biden, but not 10 out of 10. Go 9 out of 10. And then Joe Biden can announce some female vice president, and that can just wash away the sins. They can say, oh, those are old allegations and they aren't true. Those have been dismissed. They're no longer corroborated. We've already been through this, and they could dismiss it as if it's old news. So it tells me one of those two things. So she did do a tough interview against Joe Biden, but she didn't actually ask the most important questions. So here's five questions that should have been asked of Joe Biden. Now, again, I expected Mika Brzezinski to do the old Obama routine where they used to say, how does it feel to be president? I mean, Barack Obama used to have to field the most ridiculous questions as president. What shows do you like to watch? How difficult is it because of all the conservatives attacking? That's what I expected coming out of Mika Brzezinski to Joe Biden. And I was actually refreshed to see some form of journalism done. But here's five very simple questions that Mika should have asked him and that the activist leftist journalists need to ask of Joe Biden. Number one, why did CNN delete the episode from their archive of Larry King Live where Tara Reid's mother called in complaining about Joe Biden in 1993. Why is that? Why did CNN almost act as a pseudo-auxiliary of the Democrat National Committee and delete that tape? No one has answered that at all. Question two, what about the 14 other accusers of Joe Biden? That's right, 14 other. Now, not all of them are accusing him of assault, but a lot of them are accusing him of uncomfortable behavior, and it creates a pattern, a fact pattern, and a trend. No questions about that. Question three, what about the double standard in the media, especially when it comes to how CNN and MSNBC or the New York Times, the Washington Post covered Kavanaugh? And Tara Reid's accusation has much more corroborating evidence to back up their claims. So just so we're clear, the activist leftist journalists, quote unquote journalists, they're perfectly fine with destroying an innocent man's life of accusations that have no merit and no basis from high school, despite a sterling and perfect career in the White House and then as a circuit court judge. They're fine with destroying that man's life. But as soon as a Democrat wants to be vice president of the United States and there is a credible accusation against him from the time that he was in the Senate, all of a sudden they have to just dismiss that. Question number four, what makes Joe Biden more believable than Brett Kavanaugh? In fact, there are zero, that's right, zero videos of Brett Kavanaugh fondling little girls. Zero. There's minutes of footage of Joe Biden and very uncomfortable footage of him touching young women, minors. What makes him more believable? Joe Biden used to pal around with Ted Kennedy. The entire activist media gave Ted Kennedy a complete and total pass after he let that woman die, after he let that woman die in Chappaquiddick. Did Joe Biden pal around with Ted Kennedy and not engage in some of that behavior? We don't know. Question five. What makes Tara Reid less believable than Christine Blasey Ford? Tara Reid worked for Joe Biden when Joe Biden was a U.S. senator. Christine Blasey Ford was a high school student that had no corroborating evidence, that didn't even tell her friends, couldn't remember where it happened or when it happened, yet she was treated as if this accusation was a couple weeks old and that it was perfect and sterling. Do you know what a big difference between Tara Reid and Christine Blasey Ford? Tara Reid filed a police report. Christine Blasey Ford never filed a police report. So to be honest with you, as a Trump supporter, I'm not convinced this is a good thing for us. I'm not convinced that this whole Tara Reid discussion right now is great. Am I enjoying watching it? Of course. I love seeing leftists squirm and have to defend their own double standards. If the left didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. I love seeing the left trying to defend the indefensible. I love seeing the left have to prove that truth is not a left-wing value. I enjoy all of that. But for the goal of trying to get President Trump reelected, this is not happening at the best possible time. It is not happening at the operative time. And number two, it might dismiss this altogether as a discussion point coming into the fall. And I think Joe Biden is very beatable. I think Joe Biden is the most corrupt, most confused candidate to run for the president of the United States in history, even more corrupt than Hillary Clinton. That's right. Even more corrupt than Hillary Clinton. $1.5 billion in the Chinese Communist Party, the dealings with Ukraine, what his brother did in Iraq, what his other brother did after the 2008 financial crisis. There are so many questions about how Joe Biden used the instruments of influence around the United States government and the Treasury to make himself and his family rich. Now, mind you, the Democrat National Committee is simply going to say, well, we have to let the American people decide, just like with President Trump. And they're going to try to dismiss these accusations. You did not say that with Justice Brett Kavanaugh. What you did with Judge Kavanaugh and Justice Kavanaugh, we drew a line in the sand and we said, we will remember this. And guess what? We are not going to let you guys get off easy with this. You're not. Because you made us for weeks defend an honorable man against baseless accusations when you were running millions of dollars attack ads just because you wanted to have more abortions in America. That's what Kavanaugh was about. Basically, Brett Kavanaugh was pro-life, or at least he was in the direction of pro-life policy, and you and the committed groups from NARAL and Planned Parenthood wanted to stop his nomination at all costs. And Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand and Nancy Pelosi and all of you that went after Judge Kavanaugh, your silence on Joe Biden, guess what? It's actually destroying your own base. Because a lot of the activists in the Me Too movement are now more upset with the Democrat Party than ever before. I have no love lost for that. But I do ask the question, is Joe Biden going to be the nominee? There's two schools of thought here. They're getting this out of the way. They want to take the cough syrup and get through it because they think they'll be better on the other side of it. Or there is a true plan to get rid of Joe Biden, who I think is amazingly beatable. I think President Trump will beat Joe Biden and maybe put someone in that has higher favorability ratings, who can actually put together a sentence, and whose son did not sell us out to America's greatest enemy. Are you guys being crushed by the cartel of the colleges? Are you worried that Joe Biden is going to jeopardize your current student loan situation? Do you have a son or daughter or granddaughter that is suffering under student loan debt? Well, I want to tell you about Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. What do? They help people get out of student loan debt. If you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. With a lower rate, you could save on interest or lower your monthly payment, which means more money in your pocket. And with a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. Consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas with some other workplaces, you get ranges of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple of minutes to check rates. Checking rates does not impact your credit. They never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. Please visit Credible.com/Charlie, that's Credible.com/Charlie. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. $200 cash to get to save on interest and lower your monthly payment. You, your son, your daughter, your granddaughter has got to check out Credible.com. It is a marketplace. I put my name behind it, Credible.com/Charlie. So speaking of the election coming up in November, a huge push by the Democrats right now is mail-in voting. I was watching President Trump's terrific town hall on Fox News, and I was watching advertisement after advertisement by left-wing advocacy groups to try to pass mail-in voting. Democrats are trying to use the China virus to ram through one of their longest-held pipe dreams, mail-in voting. First of all, I just find this perplexing that Democrats, they want to regulate everything in your life. They want to regulate where your kids go to school. They want to regulate if you can buy a weapon or not, a firearm, which is a constitutional right. They want to regulate your speech. They want to regulate how much money you can earn. They want to regulate whether or not you can leave your house. They want to regulate if you can go to your second home in Michigan. They want to regulate if you can kayak. They want to put sand in skateboarding parks. Yet the one thing that they just seem so laissez-faire with, the one thing that they just don't want to regulate, the one thing that they don't want to grow government, in fact, they just say, oh, we just have to distribute ballots in every single direction despite dead people, illegals, and everything else happening out there, is voting. Now, this is a poll from USA Today. It says Americans overwhelmingly support vote-by-mail push. Okay, I think that's a very misleading poll. It says, but Republicans more wary. First of all, I don't know how they asked the question. I'm sure people answered it by, yeah, I think some people should be able to vote absentee. So the New York Times published a piece that kind of contradicted itself in its own piece. It was almost a self-owned by the New York Times, where they said, Trump is pushing a false argument to vote by mail fraud, and here are the facts. But then in the same story, if you keep on reading, here's the key line. Experts say that the mail-in voting system is more vulnerable to fraud than voting in person. Yeah, that's the whole point. Ask yourself, why is this? Why are Democrats so motivated to ram this through? Well, because it helps them win more elections. Look, we talked about this a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show. I'm going to talk about this with Congressman Crenshaw, so make sure you guys are subscribed on the Charlie Kirk Show, which is all the left cares about is power. The number one thing that the left cares about is assuming more political power. It's going to help them win more elections. That's it. Mark Hemingway over at Real Clear Politics highlighted the most troubling truth about vote by mail. He said between 2012 and 2018, 28.3 million mail-in ballots remain unaccounted for. That's right. 28.3 million mail-in ballots remain unaccounted for, according to data from the Federal Election Assistance Commission. The number is likely even higher because some areas in the country, notably Chicago, yeah, no kidding, did not respond to the federal agency's survey questions. Chicago has thrived on voter fraud. Did you know in 1960, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Democrat, against Richard Nixon, Republican, in the 1960 presidential election, won the election simply because of Chicago voter fraud? This is well documented. This is well agreed upon by historians and people who lived through it. Mayor Daley at the time in 1960 made a secret deal with Joseph P. Kennedy, the father of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, to basically rig the entire election, and Chicago voter fraud was born. Run by the unions, run by the mob, run by corrupt interests. Chicago has not changed at all since then. The only difference is that they're not as blatant about the fraud that they commit in Chicago. Now, obviously, not all 28 million ballots were used for fraudulent purposes or voting, but that's 28 million opportunities. The Election Assistance Commission agrees that this is a major concern. Here's a little truth that you can go tell your friend right now and look your liberal friend in the eyes and you can say, Did you know voter fraud is real? When you have 120 million people doing something, it is fair to say that a percentage of that is going to be fraudulent. What always perplexes me is that the left says we have to go after all the greedy business people. All these loans that are giving out through the PPP program, people are going to abuse that, and we have to go after them. We have to go after all the people that are scamming old people with credit cards. We have to, and by the way, I agree with that. We have to go after all the people that are scamming on pharmaceutical prices. And yet, when we talk about voting, the left acts as if everyone acts ethically all the time. They act as if there's no criminals. They act as if there's no one trying to game the system. So every single talking point from the left, and Elizabeth Warren is the one that bothers me the most, because Elizabeth Warren created her entire career around creating the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a separate wing of the executive branch, which has way too much autonomous authority to protect consumers. I put that in air quotes, protect consumers, when in reality, it goes after business people unfairly, and it punishes them if they dare go into businesses that Czar Elizabeth Warren does not deem appropriate. Yet Elizabeth Warren says we have to go after all the greed and all the predatory behavior. Her whole belief system is that there's a lot of bad people in the world. And I agree with that. And I actually think that the free market system and competition is the best way to make sure that people are treated ethically and given the best product possible with sensible government regulation. Yet when it comes to voting, Elizabeth Warren says voter fraud is a myth, that there's no such thing. It's never been proven. You cannot say that human nature all of a sudden changes when it comes to voting, that people won't lie, steal, cheat, fill out fake ballots, if the very same human beings are acting unethically in the marketplace, Czar Elizabeth Warren. The left is so philosophically inconsistent. And when it comes to voter ID, think about this. Democrats would love coronavirus antibody cards. They want to do content trace testing. They want to give everyone a card. They want to give everyone a vaccine. They want to trace everyone. But then they won't support voter ID? I mean, the very same leftists that want to know everything about your life, to say that you have to have a specific amount of antibody card, yet it's racist to say that you want to have voter ID cards. And by the way, it's that whole idea that voter ID is somehow racist. That's the bigotry of low expectations. You're actually a racist if you believe that. If you think that black people are too stupid to go get an identification, you are the racist. If you think that black people are too dumb to be able to go get a voter ID card, you are the racist. Again, it is the bigotry of low expectations, and it is embedded in the talking points of the left. And by the way, here's all the things that Americans actually need an ID for. R-rated movies, driving a car, going to the bank, boarding a plane, checking out a library book, ordering a beer, checking into a hotel, donating blood, picking up a prescription, buying cigarettes. All of those things require an identification. But why shouldn't voting in our election? And now the counter argument is, well, Charlie, none of those things are rights. You're right. So it's actually more important to show an ID. It's more important to prove your identity when you're trying to exercise an inalienable right than when you're just trying to go get a beer. It's actually the most important point to make sure you are who you say you are when you're trying to do something that people bled to make sure you could do that. People died to make sure you could do that. That people protested to make sure you could do that. That's actually the most important thing, to make sure that there's no fraud, to make sure that there's no corrupt behavior, to make sure that there's no evil seeping into that process. Mail-in ballots also enable something called ballot harvesting. Now, ballot harvesting is something that is so borderline illegal, and it opens the door. It is a gateway to voter fraud. So here's what happens is you get a ballot in your house, and you might fill it out or you might not fill it out. You might fill out just the president or the congressional. This happens so much in Orange County, by the way, Orange County, California. It flipped just because of this. And so you get a ballot, and then a couple days later, you get a knock on the door. Hello, my name is Sally Sue. I'm a left winger who loves abortion. Can I have your ballot, please? I want to turn it in for you because I could take care of it for you. And a lot of people, including elderly people and newfound citizens and immigrants to the United States, think this is customary. They're like, oh yeah, sure, take my ballot. There is no oversight and there is no guarantee that they are not filling in the remainder of those ballots at all. There's no way for the actual voter to track their vote. There's no way to actually oversee what happens to that ballot. It encourages fraud. And look, we know who the left is right now. We know the left is a group of people that tears up speeches after the State of the Union, which is a violation of the official document provisions of the federal government. We know the left wants 3,000 abortions a day. We know the left is perfectly fine with having foreign nationals pour into our country. We know the left is perfectly fine with siding with the Chinese Communist Party, not us. Are we supposed to act as if their intentions with vote by mail are perfect? Of course not. These are power-hungry anti-Western civilization individuals that want nothing more than a quicker way to get to power. Now, Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar, didn't really work out well for her when she ran for president, and Ron Wyden have proposed the Natural Disaster and Emergency Ballot Act of 2020. This bill would allow every eligible voter the opportunity to vote by mail, regardless of states governed by mail-in ballots. This would get rid of states' rights. This would get rid of the 10th Amendment. It's very important to point out when it comes to vote by mail. If you care about your vote, you should care about other people's votes. What do I mean by that? Because if you care about your expression when you go to vote, if you just don't care about the fraud happening on the street, it invalidates your vote. If you care about your representation and dead people, illegals, foreign nationals, and fake ballots are happening, well, then guess what? Your vote gets canceled out. For example, in Wisconsin, this is back from January, three Democrats in Wisconsin were held in contempt for refusing to remove names from the voter rolls in Wisconsin. 230,000 names have been ordered to be removed from the rolls. Donald Trump only won Wisconsin by 22,748 votes. And so why do you think the Democrats are fighting for this? Did you know back in November, nine people were arrested in Texas for being part of a voter fraud ring, falsely claiming to live in addresses so they could sway local elections? They were being paid by Democrat Party leaders. And that was the second major voter fraud bust in Texas in the last 2 weeks. And one more piece of data. Do you know the United States has 3.5 million more registered voters than living adults? So by vote by mail, they would send a ballot to every single registered voter in the country. So there'd be 3.5 million more ballots out there than actual human beings to facilitate them. You're trying to tell me that the Democrat operatives that are okay with people illegally crossing into our country, that are okay with the current status quo of law breaking all across America, that are literally letting pedophiles and murderers out of prison into the streets of California, you're trying to tell me that they're not going to use those ballots as a way to try to assume more power? A California DMV was audited in Fresno, California for mishandling voter registration for 23,000 drivers. They double registered 77,000 others and issued voter registration to 16-year-olds, changing party registration without voter approval. All of this behavior, if allowed to go without challenging, would invalidate your vote, would invalidate every single vote of people you care about. If you care about the future of America and you care about the First Amendment, you should reject vote by mail. Demand voter ID. Reject vote by mail. And assertively make sure that the Democrats do not pull off the greatest change of our electoral system, which would be nothing more than another leftist power grab. Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or a magic number on the scale. It's about building healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. If fitting into that favorite pair of jeans is your goal, great. But there are many reasons you might want to practice self-care, and every person is different. You might want to be able to run a marathon. You might just want to lose 10 or 15 pounds. Noom, N-O-O-M, is the way to do that because everyone is different. Noom adjusts your lifestyle. They teach you psychology behind the decisions you make and then help you keep track of everything from workouts and steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes. Noom also connects you with a personally assigned goal specialist and a community of other Noomers. So you have all the support you need to empower your change. There's physical, psychological, and social ways to get this done. Better self-care, feeling confident in clothing, more energy, or just an overall better feel about yourself. You can integrate Noom into your life. You trust yourself to make good choices. There's specific lessons you learned about psychology or habits. These of just 10 minutes a day, they will help you get your goals done. Noom is the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based in psychology. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and empowers you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. No food is good or bad or off limits. Noom teaches moderation and can be used in conjunction with many pre-existing popular diets if you want. Noom doesn't tell you what to do and what not to do. It teaches you how to look inside your own mind and make better decisions for yourself. Chat with your goal specialist and Noom community to get and give help to people going through the same things. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today. Noom.com/Charlie. Noom.com/Charlie. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/Charlie to start your free trial today. That's Noom.com/Charlie. So throughout this entire China coronavirus crisis in our country, we have seen heroes and villains pop up. And honestly, there's been a lot more villains than heroes. And across the country, we're seeing Americans become so restless and peacefully rebel. And by the way, I love it. I love it. When I see people with American flags that are screaming for their freedom and liberty back, these are heroes. The villains are the tyrants that stay in their ivory towers that are able to survive a shutdown. The heroes are the people that need to get back to work because their life savings are being spent and are disappearing and evaporating so that the ruling class can insulate themselves or use this as a gateway to socialism. So some states are beginning to reopen. Arizona, California, Texas, and Georgia, to just name a few. California, there's a lot of protests happening there for good reason. And as this lockdown is beginning to wind down, I want to recap some of the biggest heroes and villains. So who made it worse and who stood strong? So here's one of the worst villains, Mayor Bill de Blasio. So first of all, someone in his communications department should have said, hey, don't send a message to the Jewish community threatening arrest specifically targeted to just the Jewish community. He did this trying to break up a funeral in the Hasidic Jewish community, and it went over awful, just really, really bad. He's shown an awful double standard in his enforcement. New York City parks were brimming with visitors, so de Blasio's strict enforcement seems to be totally discretionary. De Blasio bragged about recently reaching a milestone of less than 4,000 criminals behind bars after releasing more than 2,000 over virus fears. So he's cool with releasing criminals, but when they start raping people and they start breaking into your homes and they start actually committing crimes against you, is he going to celebrate that as well? Bill de Blasio is the worst mayor in the history of New York and one of the worst mayors in the history of America. He is an absolute disgrace to one of the greatest cities in the world. And guess what? New York is going to go into a death spiral because of people like Mayor Bill de Blasio. New York City is going to go the way to Detroit because of Mayor Bill de Blasio. New York City has also seen a 75% increase in commercial burglaries since the lockdown on March 12th. Mayor Bill de Blasio, you are a disgrace. How about a hero? We know this. Governor Kristi Noem. Go back in the Charlie Kirk Show archives. Listen to this interview. She could be something more than governor one day, folks. She could do something really special. Email your thoughts to me, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com of your thoughts of Governor Kristi Noem, freedom@charliekirk.com, because I think she has some superstar potential. The courageous governor, she stood firm against the mob. It was one of only 8 governors to not place her citizens under a draconian stay-at-home order. And the results? Just 2,600 confirmed cases of the virus, only 21 deaths at the time of this recording, and not minimizing 21 people dying, but it's still so minimal compared to the national death rates and the national Chinese coronavirus totals. Hero, Governor Kristi Noem. Villain, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, where do I even start with her? Let them eat ice cream, okay? She's Nancy Antoinette, obviously modeled after Marie Antoinette, who used to say to the masses, let them eat cake, which was so unbelievably out of touch when it was said back then, and it should be equally out of touch when Nancy Pelosi stands in front of her $24,000 refrigerator while the country is shut down and Congress is not at work. She delayed the initial round of PPP funding so she could fight for tons of money to make sure that we terminate more children, which is what Planned Parenthood does. Nancy Pelosi, if you just want to see her get excited, if you want to see gleeful Nancy Pelosi, talk about more human beings being removed from the womb. She gets so fired up. She loves it. More funding for Planned Parenthood. She would march in the streets if Planned Parenthood get $1 billion a year instead of $500 million a year. She refused to let the final bill pass unless it included things like $25 million for the Kennedy Center and $350 million for refugee resettlement. Nancy Pelosi is a total disgrace to America. She is someone that does not love America. That's right. Nancy Pelosi does not love America. She loves ice cream more than she loves the United States of America. She loves Planned Parenthood more than she loves the United States of America. Nancy Pelosi is the worst and the bottom of the barrel of the ruling class elites that have destroyed America from within. Hero, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis has tailored a surgical approach to fighting the virus in the state of Florida. We are going to have him on the Charlie Kirk Show very soon. He is a friend of mine. He's someone that's done amazing. Despite being the third most populous state in America, a state that I'm a resident of and proudly a resident of, 0% income tax, Florida, despite being the third most populous state, as of this recording, Florida just has the 10th highest number of deaths, 1,399 in a state of 21.3 million, and now the beaches are back open in Florida. Ron DeSantis, you love liberty. You get a stamp of approval here on the Charlie Kirk Show. You also have superstar potential. And it's the total villain. I mean, she is the Wicked Witch of the West, Governor Whitmer. I mean, she is awful. I mean, I could do a whole show on her. It is so draconian, so backwards. Governor Whitmer is a power-hungry Marxist. She inexplicably banned the sale of gardening goods. It's just silly and it's foolish. She has prohibited travel to and from people's homes. If you want to spend time in your second house in the Upper Peninsula, despite the fact that it's your property, you're not allowed to. And it's surprising that even she had the time to enact and enforce these draconian orders between her endless auditions to become the Chinese Communist Party's selection for President of the United States, Joe Biden. She wants to be the second most revered person for the CCP because she wants to be the Democrat Party's nominee for vice president. I spent an entire podcast on her. You can go back in the archives and check it out. Make sure you hit subscribe. Email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. If you're currently in Michigan, shoot me a note and tell me how bad she actually is. freedom@charliekirk.com. And by the way, it's not a stretch to say that the talking heads on MSNBC or CNN would be apoplectic to hear Greg Abbott or Ron DeSantis were using a GOP data firm to mine health data on their citizens, which is what she was doing. She contracted with NGP Van, which was the leading political technology provider to the Democrat and progressive campaigns to collect health data in Michigan, enriching the ruling class and political class of the Democrat National Committee. Hero of this whole thing, President Donald Trump. President Trump, under his leadership, the curve has flattened. He was dealt an impossible hand. He shut off travel to China early, and now he's been arguing to reopen America. He made America the king of ventilators. He sent the USNS Mercy to California. He built out a temporary hospital to the Javis Center, and he sent in the comfort to New York City. He has been a problem solver all along the way. Hero, President Donald Trump, against the Democrat tyrant villains in every single one of these states. We need to look at things in terms of hero and villain and remember to hold these left-wing, Marxist, anti-American governors and lawmakers accountable this November. Do not forget the pain that they inflicted on you. Show up, do something about it, vote, not by mail, unless you have to absentee. Hold these people accountable. The fight for liberty has never been more important. So speaking of all the criminals on the loose, what are you doing to protect your home? Are you just hoping that people won't break in? They won't shatter glass and go after your loved ones? Are you just hoping the criminals on the loose will just gloss over your home? Or do you want to make sure that your home is secure? Well, that's where SimpliSafe comes in. SimpliSafe Home Security, I put my name behind it. All the property I care about are secured by SimpliSafe Home Security. I know there's bad people out there, and guess what? Just because restaurants are closed doesn't mean that criminals take days off. Bad people in our society are going to keep on breaking into homes. They're going to keep on, yes, murdering people. And if you want to do something about it, it's SimpliSafe Home Security. You can go to simplisafe.com/Charlie. You just order online. You set it up yourself in under an hour. And your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, fires, and more. All for just 50 cents a day. 50 cents a day. Keep the murderers away. They're longtime friends of our show, and for good reason. SimpliSafe has made it easy to finally get comprehensive protection for your home. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. For some of the homes I care about and some of the people I care about, I literally sent them this product right here, simplisafe.com/Charlie, because I said with COVID, there are so many bad people out there, and they're acting unbelievable right now. Crazy stuff. You need security. They have cameras. They have 911 assistance. They have quick turnaround time. It's simplysafe.com/Charlie. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Do something about all the people that have been released from prison. They are releasing thousands of criminals from prison. You need to be protected. Crime rates are going up dramatically. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie to make sure that they know our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie. From SimpliSafe and all of us here, wishing you safety and good health. So I want to debunk one of these talking points that has just been so pervasive in the media and that just has gone unchallenged by many people. Just something that we have to accept, that we can't talk about it, we can't cross-examine it. And I understand the root cause of this talking point. I understand the root cause of this concern because there is some truth there. But like most major media lies, that truth has just blossomed and it has avalanched into an absolute gross, false, fake, awful and destructive narrative. And what is that? Well, it's this whole idea of the people of color and COVID-19. So this is from the Boston Globe. I sent this article to our team. I said, we have to spend some time on this on the Charlie Kirk Show. And here was the quote. COVID-19 has ripped off any cover that still obscures the deep inequalities burdening communities of color in America. Inequalities that have in a few months have become too obvious and are too ugly for the rest of us to ignore. Americans at large are now clearly dependent for their sustenance, if not their survival, on their countrymen of color, on recent immigrants, and on those different sounding names. I read that. I said, what are you talking about? So I started to dig deeper, and I've heard this online. And again, just leave it to Senator Kamala Harris, or is it Kamala? It's irrelevant. She's not someone who seeks truth. What she did to Judge Kavanaugh, I don't care if I mispronounce her name for the rest of my political career. She does not deserve a correct pronunciation of me. I don't care if she's a senator. She's a far left-wing apparatchik leftist who tried to destroy Justice Kavanaugh's life. So therefore, I don't care if it's Kamala. I don't care. So Senator Kamala Harris, she said this. People of color are being infected and dying from coronavirus at astounding rates. Who recently introduced the COVID-19 Racial and Ethnic Disparities Task Force. Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu said this, communities of color bearing the burden of this pandemic have been bearing the brunt of systemic inequities, since long before COVID-19. So what is the truth here? First of all, we don't know for sure the true extent of the illness and death disparities between blacks and whites. Many states and cities don't report based on data and race on the pandemic, so we don't know. But we also know that viruses are racially agnostic. The virus isn't like going after black people's houses more and white people's houses less. It's silly to say. They're trying to say as if the virus is inherently racist. I mean, in both Louisiana and Chicago, statistics show that roughly 70% of deaths occurred among blacks, even though they are a minority in both of the areas, according to U.S. News. So this is where a lot of these talking points are coming from. In North Carolina's Mecklenburg County, home of Charlotte, the state's largest city, black people made up 32.9% of residents but accounted for 43% of reported coronavirus cases. In Michigan, state health officials reported 33% of cases have occurred among blacks or African Americans, 10 percentage points higher than whites and more than twice the state's percentage of black residents. So this on the surface says, oh my goodness, absolutely right, that black people are way more disproportionately affected. Hold on a second. That is not fair, and that is not an accurate way to interpret that data at all. Again, this lie started with a kernel of truth, like a lot of the big mainstream media activist, leftist media narratives do, and then it blossomed and it avalanched into something completely untrue. Here's the truth. It's not because they are black. The virus is not inherently more deadly for blacks than for whites or Asians. Experts have warned that long-standing health disparities between racial groups in the United States, such as higher rates of conditions like asthma, obesity, and diabetes. It's also likely true that blacks have lower access to healthcare per capita than whites. It's not just likely true, we know that to be true. And many black Americans also hold low-wage jobs that it may not be possible to be work from home. So it's more true to say the virus kills a disproportionate amount of poor people, not black people. And if you think all poor people are black people, you're racist. The same thing with voter ID. If you think, when you think of a poor person, if you think of a black person, you're the racist person, leftist activist on television. There are a lot of poor white people in America, too, that are dying of coronavirus. And it's not because southern states or conservatives in general have declined to participate in Obamacare, like a lot of people are trying to say. Socialized medicine leads to less hospital beds, not more. Since 2003, 16 hospitals have closed around New York City, 4 in Brooklyn alone. Why? Because heavily socialized medicine that pays less and requires greater volume to keep doctors and facilities up and running, this hurts New York City during the pandemic. And it also has hurt black people. Just look at Texas. They have one hospital for every 50,000 people. In New York and California, both have over 100,000 residents per hospital. Texas, way more free market, way more decentralized, yet New York and California, way more socialized. So look, framing this entire thing in terms of race is awful policy. And this is so typical of the left. The left is so hyper-fixated on what divides us. Everything the left cares about is putting you back into your postmodern tribal group. Rich versus poor, men versus women. But they don't even believe in men versus women because they think a man can instantaneously become a woman if they just believe that they're a woman. I'm a woman, therefore I believe it. Well, that's silly and backwards and foolish. We know that to be true. But everything the left cares about is pitting each other against one another. But let's pretend it was true. Let's pretend the virus was something like out of the book of Exodus and the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world, the Holy Bible. Let's pretend that the virus actually was selective in what houses it goes to. Let's pretend that it was like the merchant of death at night and it only went to black people's homes. Let's pretend that was true, which of course it isn't, because that would be against everything that we know as far as data and science of infectious diseases and biology. Why does the left all of a sudden care about things that disproportionately affect black people? Do you know that black women are more than 5 times as likely than white women to have an abortion? On average, 1,876 black babies are aborted every single day in the United States of America. 1,876 black babies are aborted every single day. Black people make up about 13% of the American population. About half of that 13% are women, law of averages. About half of that are infant-bearing age. It's about 3% of the U.S. population are black women that are able to bear children. Yet they account for 48% of all the abortions in America. 3% of the population, 48% of the abortions. Studies show that the black population would be 36% larger if it weren't for the 16 million black babies that were terminated in the womb since 1973. So since when does the left actually care about disproportionate pain? The left says, oh, this disproportionately affects these communities of color. No, but what? Since when do you care about that? And just one other example. While African Americans constitute 32% of Georgia's population, 62.4% of abortions in Georgia are performed on African American women. By contrast, whites constitute 60% of the Georgia population, but only 24% of abortions. Do you think Stacey Abrams is going to blame Planned Parenthood for losing the election instead of voter suppression? I don't think so. Despite black birth rates totally flattened, you want to talk about a curve that has been flattened? Look at black birth rates. Because of population control Planned Parenthood that has 3,000 abortions a day and 1,876 of them being black babies. And so, no, the virus does not disproportionately impact the black community. But if the left was actually honest and they cared about things that did disproportionately impact their communities, they would be very, very vocal when it comes to abortion. So now, just breaking, Nancy Pelosi suggests that illegal immigrants, foreign nationals illegally domiciled in the United States of America, should get a guaranteed minimum income in the next coronavirus package. So instead of putting criminals back in prisons where they belong, instead of taking care of our workers, 27 million people out of work, she wants to give free money to illegal immigrants. The ingrate, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, who's again, ingrate, if you look up what the actual word means someone who is not thankful, ingratitude. She tweeted out that we shouldn't just suspend all mortgages. We should cancel rent and mortgages. Look, when you just create money like we have been, when we have opened up our central bank the way we have, you're going to get shameless Marxists and anti-Americans that are going to take advantage of the endless money supply that will result in hyperinflation, that will result in these awful policy proposals that mean you should just cancel rent and mortgages. This is so fundamentally dangerous to private property and to Western society. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, you do not love America. You want to see America burn. You want to see the fundamental deconstruction of our country. You want to cancel all rents and mortgages. Well, what about the people that work for us at Turning Point USA that show up to work on time, that have their act together, and they've been paying their rent and mortgage every single month for their entire life? You should cancel that for the people that can't pay for that. What about the people that have saved? What about the people that have invested dutifully for decades? You are talking about the greatest erosion of individual responsibility and individual liberty in the history of America. You, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, you have no gratitude for the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. You instead want to see the advancement and the acceleration of the decline and the demise of America. Suspend all rent and mortgages. What about the small business owners that might own those properties? What about the people that benefit off of the actual rent that you pay? Oh, yeah, if you're renting something, you must be a villain. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, you are the lowest of the low of the U.S. Congress, even lower than Nancy Pelosi, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, all these shameless left-wing social justice, anti-American Marxist activists are looking at this as an opportunity to use the United States Treasury, the $4 trillion that we have created, to achieve long-held policy goals that would do nothing but devalue our currency, get our generation further in debt, and get you closer to end goal, which is ultimate power. This is nothing more than a Machiavellian power grab that you and your squad want to achieve at the expense of our freedom and liberty. And guess what? We're not going to take it anymore. We are going to peacefully rebel. We are going to get into the streets. We are going to push back against people like you, like Whitmer, like Newsom, like Cuomo, like Evers, like Pritzker, like all of you ruling class tyrants that want to continue to put us in a box and literally not let us leave our home to cancel all rent and mortgages and create another $4 trillion out of thin air. We are not going to take it anymore. We will fight for freedom and liberty and fight for the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. What a great episode that was here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you subscribe on The Charlie Kirk Show. Tomorrow, we have Congressman Dan Crenshaw on the show. You guys are not going to want to miss it. It is a deep dive on philosophy and so much more. You guys can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you have a question you want me to ask Dan Crenshaw, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button. Give us those 5-star reviews. And if you guys want to get involved with the largest student organization in the country, fighting for liberty, fighting for freedom, fighting for the Constitution, go to tpusa.com. Go right now. If you're a student, start a chapter. Be bold. Do something about the erosion of freedom and liberty in our country. Start a Turning Point USA chapter. If you're an adult and you want to help Turning Point USA, we rejected all federal government money. We rejected all federal bailout assistance. You can go to tpusa.com and chip in some money. And again, the email is freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. We got Congressman Dan Crenshaw and some other episodes coming up you're not going to want to miss. Go back in the archives. Got Nikki Haley, Governor Noem, Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr., and that's just in the last week. Go further back in the archives for President Donald Trump, Vice President Pence, and so many others. We also got the Press Secretary of the United States, Kayleigh McEnany. You're not going to want to miss that. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, everybody. God bless.